Today's December 9th, year 2007. It's the second Sunday in Advent. The first thing we're going to talk about is I saved it for the sermon here because it involves the idea of borrowing things. And it's good for people to understand how they should behave when people lend them things and when you have to give things back and all that. When anybody's borrowing stuff to somebody, just if they don't put no time limit on it, they say, here, you can just use this. Well, that person can use it until you ask for it back. Now, somebody can come up to you and say, here, I'm going to loan you this duct tape that you can use, and I'm just going to loan it to you, but you don't put no time limit on it. Well, then you can't blame the person for not giving it back right away or even keeping it for a long time. Now, a lot of times people are absent-minded, too. They forget to give things back. But don't impute malice to anybody unless you have sufficient cause that a person's really being malicious. You know, because if you do lend a person something and they don't intend to give it back, that is stealing. But only unless you're a very malicious person. People are like that, by the way. Then they commit mortal sins. But there's many times people are absent-minded. They forgot that they were loaned something. Don't ever impute maliciousness to a person unless you have proof. Even let's say you lend something to somebody. You tell them, I want it back next week. Well, then you got to give it back to them next week. Now, if that person forgot and it's over a week, then just go up and ask them. Say, oh, I don't know if, you know, you might have forgot, but remember the thing I loaned you? I need it. And then just give it back to them. No, but be very careful not to be malicious about things and imputing malice upon people who you loan things to and they just forgot to give it back to you or they were absent-minded. And don't be over-covetous when you lend and give things. That's a very big dangerous thing too. A lot of people when they give donations and they lend things, they blow a trumpet before them to let everybody know how good they are. You lost all merit. That's covetousness and that's a horrible sin. Because some people are overly possessive of their possessions. Now, as Catholics, we're not communists in the sense where we believe you can walk into somebody's house and just start taking the stuff. But we do give the brothers whatever they need, and we do have things in common. And if one brother really needs something and the other brother doesn't help him, woe to us. But at the same time, we don't condone, there is such a thing as private property. The Catholic Church does support that, even God does. Even in the Old Testament, God partitioned off land that belonged to certain people, and even when the king tried to take that land under Elijah was around, and the king, I think it was Ahab, I think that was his name, tried to take the land from his neighbor, God punished him, because that was his neighbor's land. King or no king, God, you still do have private property. But be very careful
not to be covetous.
He said, blowing trumpets before you. Look what I loaned to you. Look what I gave you. People do that. And look how much money I gave you, Richard. I don't make sure that you know I gave this to you. You know? They're sort of blowing trumpets when they lend money to you or when they give donations even. And it's almost like they expect something in return for it. Or they expect that you're beholden to them. Or almost it's in a sense like a bribe. Like, remember what I did for you, so therefore you better not speak evil against me or rebuke me. Or that's what I mean by that. When our Lord says speak evil, if you've done something wrong, it's almost like a bribe then. And so people, I also want people to be very careful about being covetous about what you own. Some people like, this is mine and you can't have it. This is mine and I don't want you to use it. And if you're going to use it, I'm going to let you know that it's mine and I'm going to make you pay the price and give obeisance to me because I let you use it. Be careful of that too. That's an abomination in the eyes of God. When a normal person, even on the natural plane, you don't even have to be a Catholic to know this. This is a natural law. If you loan something to somebody just because you really care, you're doing a natural act of charity, you know, you do. You're not going to club the person over the head if they don't give it back right away. Your first thing you're going to assume is that if you told them to give it back in a week and they didn't give it back in a week, they forgot. So you just go over and ask them. You don't still go around spreading sedition and talking about, I gave this to this person and they didn't give it back and I did this, because then you're causing trouble. Go to the person who you loaned it to and ask them for it back. Now, sometimes you'll go up to a person and say, here, you can use this, and you don't put a time limit on it. Then you've got no right to complain if he's got it for 6 months, a year, or 3 years. You don't put a time limit on it. You want it back? Go up and ask the person. Don't get angry because you go up and you give a thing to a person and say, here, Rich, you can use my book. I loan it to you. All right, then I have it in my library here. I got some of your books in here for like 3-4 years now. If ever you wanted it back, all you got to do is come up and say, hey, Rich, I want to have that book back now and keep it in my house. Here it is. Fine. But if you came up and say, here, Rich, I'm going to loan you my book, I'll let you keep it for 1 week, but I need it back after a week. Then I'm obliged to give that back to you after a week. Now, after 1 week, if I don't give you back that book, your first presumption is I forgot. You don't have any other reason to think that I'm stealing from you. Then you come up and say, Richard, you know, I loaned that book to you and it's over a week. Oh, okay, well, Will, I forgot. Here it is. You know, it's that quick. Don't make a stink. A lot of people out there, when they want to make trouble, they want to make a big stink out of it, they start imputing malice to a person when there is no malice. There's absent-mindedness. But the scriptures always do tell you, blessed is the man who loans, and blessed is the man that repays. Because the person that's being loaned something is under obligation to repay. And if they can't repay because there's something happened, then fine, then make your case. And if it's a legitimate case, maybe you lost the guy's thing and you broke it. Then you have to replace what you broke. But the thing is, when you're loaning things, make sure if the person put a time limit on it, you do your best to remember to give it back to that person. But if you forgot, the person who the thing was loaned to, all they got to do is go up to that person and say, hey, remember the flashlight I gave you or whatever it is? Can you please give that back to me? Don't go around and start imputing malice upon the person who didn't give it back and start spreading dissension in the camp. You know, I gave so-and-so this and they didn't give it back. And I gave so-and-so that. That's gossip. That's evil. That's wickedness. That shows covetousness on your part. You're sinning more than the person who was absent-minded. The other person was just absent-minded. That's a fault. Or maybe not even a fault. They were absent-minded. They should probably try not to. But we're all humans. We make mistakes in that realm. We forget that we were supposed to give something back. If it's a small thing, especially, you ask for scotch tape, you know, and you borrow it and you forgot that you laid it down over. No, that happens, you know. But, I loaned you scotch tape last week and you didn't give me that scotch tape thing. And they start going crazy. And then they start talking to the other brothers about the person. Woe to that person. That person's in serious sin. He's on the road to serious sin. My thing is, if they even be thinking like that, you're doing something else that is. See, people say, is it a mortal sin for a person to do that? I would say that's a venial sin, but I would say he is in mortal sin for other reasons. Because you don't do stuff like that unless you yourself are covetous. And what covetousness means is you're jealous of other people's possession and you're very overly possessive of your own possessions. Remember Jesus said, if a thief takes your shirt, give him your coat also? What was he trying to say? He's not condoning stealing. Christ wasn't doing that. But he's saying some people are so overly possessive about their own things that they make it like everything in life. So if they lose it, look what I lost, that's my thing, it's mine. You know, so you have to be very careful. These things aren't ultimately going to save you in the end. It's your faith in God and your charity towards your brother. Even if sometimes it means giving up things that really are rightfully yours and are unjustly taken from you. Don't be so crazy over it. Because you find out that can be a cause of consternation in your life and you put hatred in your bosom and you're getting all upset about somebody who really maybe even did steal your coat. I had so many things stolen from me when I was an orphan. I deserved it because I was bad myself. And so God punished me. You know, but that would be like me going back and getting so bent out of shape because of that I'm ruining my whole life because somebody took my coat or robbed my car or stole my TV set or whatever. Keep things in perspective is what our Lord's always trying to teach here. These things ultimately aren't the things that are going to save you, but your faith in God, even if you're stripped bare like Christ was on the cross and he had nothing but a loincloth to cover him, and that's all he had in the end. That's all he had. So you got to be very careful. Part of charity among the Catholics and even pagans notice is that when you loan things, that they should be given back to the person who they loaned them. But also, the loaner also has to understand that if people are absent-minded, just go up and ask the person, hey, you know, remember that wrench I loaned you last week? You know, can you give it to me back? I need it, you know. Now, if the person is malicious and he doesn't want to give, but there are people like that, that they borrow things and don't ever give them back and they keep them. And then also they say, it's mine. Well, that's stealing. That's a mortal sin. And there are people like that. We know them, you know. Even the scriptures, it says some people are afraid to loan to other people, not because they're not charitable, but because they're afraid the person's not going to pay back. Yeah. Is that it? Ecclesiastes 29, yeah. So if the person doesn't want to pay back, like for instance, you loan somebody your coat. And then you don't tell them, you know, when you want it back. Or you do. You tell them 3 months I want it back. And you waited 3 months and he goes, this isn't your coat. It's my coat. I bought it. Oh, people do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They do. They'll do that. They'll say, yes, mine. It's my coat. I bought it. You know I gave it. No, you didn't, you know. Oh, I many things like that happen. So now that person who you loaned that thing to committed a mortal sin. And you as a Catholic, if you can prove it and bring it to a court of law and do justice, yes, you should do all your power legally to get the coat back. But if you can't, okay, you want to commit a mortal sin on this, that's your problem. All right, you've got to rebuke the person and say he's committing a mortal sin, and then leave it at that, and then don't go crazy about it. Go out and get another coat. And that person committed a mortal sin. But woe to the other person who does loan and give, and then he's imputing malice to other people, to which he has no right to impute any malice to that person, because they didn't give back the thing on time. Or because they forgot that it was even loaned to them. And then they start talking to the other brothers and causing dissension in the camp. Because what they're trying to do then, that's the devil working through that person to bring dissension into camp. These are little things. It's important for me. I want to bring it on this sermon here because other people need to know when you're a Catholic, these are the things what Catholicism is all about. What I'm speaking to you right now, folks, is the second thing you need to save your soul. You don't need just to have the Catholic faith. That's the first thing, to profess belief in all the Catholic dogmas and to become Catholic. You have to live the Catholic life. And if priests and people don't teach the way I'm teaching you on these little things, along with the big things, the whole, it's big things and little things, you're not worth a hill of beans as a priest, and nobody's going to save their souls. This is how people start falling out of a state of grace, by little things like I'm talking to you about right now. And that's why people don't like to come into among us, because we are supervised people. We take seriously our Lord when he said, he who obeys all of my commandments shall be saved, and he who offends on any one point of them shall be damned. James 2:10 even. So our Lord says he obeys all the commandments. And that includes all these little things we're talking about. And these little things is the way you start to break charity with the brothers. And when that happens, you definitely start falling into mortal sins eventually. Little things lead to big things. And I say motives too of people that go in there. And let's say they're being very malicious and they're gossiping and they're really trying to cause a dissension in the camp because of their own covetousness. That person may not be committing an actual mortal sin in his gossip. It's a venial sin. But I will say he's already a mortal sin because of his covetous nature. He has to go back home and look at his own inner conscience. Am I overly possessive of my possessions? Am I blowing a trumpet every time I give a donation? They come in and they go, hey, look what I gave. Mr. X, look what I gave all you people. Did you see what I gave? Mary's little remnant, I gave this. This is my donation. I want to make sure you remember this, Richard, you know. You even get some people that are so crazy about, they always want to be thanked when they give donations. You are supposed to thank people when they give donations, to a degree, but how far do you go with that? You know, you do thank them, and I do that, but some people, it's almost like they're blowing their trumpet before them. It's almost when that happens, you feel like, keep your stinking donation, I don't want it. It feels like a bribe to me. It feels like a bribe to me. And one of the scriptures says that. It says, presents blind and gifts blind the minds of judges. Then they're giving it to you. Almost to me, it feels like it's a bribe. That, you know, if in the future I do anything wrong, I want you to turn a blind eye to it. Because remember what I gave you? Remember all the good things I did to you? You know, all the good things you do, that's fine and well to help you get to heaven. But if you fall away from the faith, that's not going to do you any good. You can't depend on your past good works if in the future you fall away and become bad. I would say, yes, thank you that you gave me that donation, but and what that donation will do for you is give you some type of grace for me to pray for you to help you come back into the faith if you fell outside it, but I'm still going to rebuke you if you fell away, and I'm still going to admonish you, and if you're really bad, I'm going to cast you out. I don't care whether you give me another donation in your whole life. And I will say that even if you've given me a donation, with that intent in mind, you already lost all the benefit that donation could have given you. You lost it. You didn't even get any grace for that donation. Can you imagine that? People giving all this money, but they have the wrong heart, and it goes for nothing. It's imputed against them as a sin because of their intent in which they gave the donation. You see? So we have to learn about the proper way when we go up and we borrow things and our obligation to pay back. So the person who doesn't want to pay... But now let's say you get the person who takes things and... If he's really absent-minded, he's absent-minded. Now that can happen to a lot of people. I don't care how good you are, how saintly you are. Your memory can only hold a lot of things. You could have a lot of things on your mind, and somebody gave you something. Sometimes people do this too. They'll loan you things for a project you need to get done, and you haven't even finished a project yet, and then they're complaining because they didn't get it back yet. And you go, what are you talking about? I didn't even finish, you know? But the point is, if the person did come up to you and say, here this is, I want it back, then give it back, you know. In the time period in which they told you, if you need more time, you go up and ask the person, can I keep it for another week? I'm not done with it yet. So all these things are to be understood. It's not a big deal if the person comes out and goes up to the person, you know what, the thing I loaned you, I really need it now. And the person that was loaned to says, they really need it too. They're going to have to give it back to the person. But say, I'll go and borrow it from someone else, or I'll go get one on my own. But I really don't want people, you know, if for people who certain, you got a guy, let's say, for instance, he buys certain things and he has excess. He's not using them. He has a couple garbage cans in front. He's got like four or five garbage cans in front of his things. He's only using two of them. So he has three extra garbage cans that are just sitting there. And one brother needs a garbage can, and he's in dire straits because he needs it, so he takes the garbage can and starts using it. He forgets to ask the brother. He's not really stealing it. And then the brother gets all bent out of shape. That's my garbage can! How come he took my garbage can? How dare him take my garbage can? No, instead of going up to the other brother and saying, hey, brother, did you need a garbage can? I noticed you took the garbage can out there. He would say, oh, yeah, I do. I don't have anything to use. Ah, you can keep it, or pay me for it. Either way, deal with your brother directly with that. Don't start getting all bent out of shape. Because it was your garbage can, he took it from your place, and you weren't using it anyway.
Right.
There's all kinds of things where you better examine your motives when things are being done. You know, because in the early Christian, when they said community life, again, they didn't mean communism in the sense where there's no private property. I'm not condoning that. But I am also saying there is a sense to that communal life, too, where you make sure your brothers all get what they need to survive. Well, you know, imagine you've got a community of Catholics living together, and there's about 5% of our brothers that come to Mass every Sunday that are barely eating. They don't even have garbage cans to throw their garbage out and all that. And we have all those things, and we don't help them. We're committing mortal sins, pal. Now, that's not a venial sin even. That's a horrible sin against charity. Rich people are not evil if they use their money for good. And poor people are not good just because they're poor, if they're envious like the rich man and have the same motives that he would have if they had money. So rich and poor, it all depends on what you do with your money. It says in one of the scriptures, riches are good to a man who hath no sin in his conscience, and poverty is very wicked in the eyes of the ungodly. So I grew up in the inner cities with a lot of poor people that were bastards. They were really evil people, you know. And just because they're poor doesn't mean they're good at all. I mean, you can be a savage poor person, that's a wicked sinner. And you could be a rich person, that's a wicked sinner. Our Lord meant, though, it's more easier for a poor person to convert because of their condition in life. They're downtrodden. It's easier for them not to be pumped up. But a lot of times poor people, you give them the money, and the very next day they're like that rich person.
Yeah.
And they're lauding it over other people because they're just waiting to get rich so they can become just like the rich person. And they have the same traits as the rich person in their own little way. When they give their little poverty gifts, the few that they have to other people, they laud it over them. So the whole thing is when you're with a Catholic life, what our Lord means by true charity, which Paul keeps saying, is that whenever your brothers need anything, and they really do need it, and you have excess, and you can, Paul says that consistently through the scriptures. One place that he was preaching to had excess, and the other brothers did not. And when he traveled to the place where they had excess, he would take up a collection for the poor brothers who didn't have it. That doesn't mean a person who's living in a richer situation, that's fine because he has the money to do that. The poor piece, that doesn't mean you have to make the poor person live in a rich palace. That's not what we're saying here. I don't want to ever live in a rich... If you offered me a rich palace, I don't want it. I am completely happy the way I'm living now. I have everything I have in my little RV. I'm living in that little cell, and that's when I'm happiest. Nobody can give me anything better than that, you know, in this little house we have here. But whatever the person has... The basics, a roof over his head so it doesn't rain on him, and so he can stay warm enough so he doesn't freeze to death, and so he can eat enough and a little more so he can be joyful in the food that he has and not have to worry about where his next meal is going to come from. All these basic things, if we're not concerned about that with our Catholic brothers, you're in damnation. You're in damnation. So this sermon then, we're just going to stay with that on the topic of borrowing and lending and on what you need to do when that happens. Be careful on both sides. Be careful with the guy that blows his trumpet ahead of time and lets the people know. The Jews do that too in Brooklyn, these Hasidic Jews, you know. They go out and anytime they're given they call it a mitzvah, when they do a good deed, you know. And they go out there with this big truck truck or a car, and they have horns on there, and they go, they're blowing the trumpet. Really, it's like a horn. We're giving mitzvahs. And they'll go out and give dollar bills to people, you know. This is the Schneerson people that are looking forward to their false messiah. And they'll go out and give dollar bills to people and let people know all the good things they're doing, their mitzvah, you know. And so they're blowing their trumpets. But that's an obvious way. But I'm telling you, a more sneaky way is a person, I've seen it. When they give you donations, they let you know that this is, I gave you this. And you let them, oh boy, they want to let you know that when they gave you that donation. And I will say to other people too, and I'll end this sermon with this, with tithing. If you don't give your money to the church, and right now the only church I know of is right here, Mary's Little Remnant. I'm not saying this out of greed or covetous. People know me. I don't care. You don't send me a penny. I don't ever ask people or beg for money. But I will tell you this for the sake of your own souls. If you're in the Catholic Church, and you know about us right here, and you're part of Mary's Little Remnant, and you're not giving donations, you're already in serious trouble. Big, 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 big trouble. There's covetousness there. There's greed there. And that's a mandate in the scriptures going back to day one. when you have to give tithes to the church? And what kind of a person are you that if you're out there working and spending all your money and other things, but you cannot give it to the church of God, which is the center of propagating the Catholic faith and saving souls? So I really don't want to talk about this for a long time. I spoke to Brother Will about this because he knows I never ask people personally for donations, and I'll never ask them personally for donations, but I worry about some people who have not given donations, who call themselves Catholics, and they are Catholic, but I say they're bad Catholics, and I'll even go as far as say they're in a state of mortal sin. Because if you can't work it upon your heart to see all the journals and look at my website and look at all the movies we're censoring and editing, look at all the work that we're doing here, look at all this stuff that we're doing for our brothers out there, and most of all doing to save souls, and you don't give donations at all, you're not in a state of grace. You're in a state of damnation. Now, I'm doing that for your own good. That I care about your money? No. And I tell all the brothers right here, if you all left me tomorrow and said, we're taking your money away, fine, goodbye. I'll go back over here and go out to work if I have to, like I was doing for quite a while there. I'm not working anymore because I don't have to. The brothers' donations are supporting my work that I'm doing here. And if you can't see the good fruits and the works that's being done here, then woe to you. What good are you? What is your money really going to? Where are you storing up your money? Is it being stored up in heaven? It's not being stored up in heaven, and all worldly things. If you're not giving money here, I give mostly, just so people should know how I handle things. I have prices on my books, yes, because anybody who has money, it's their obligation to pay for what they purchase. But if anybody asks me that they don't have money, they can't afford anything, I give them it for free. I give away more stuff here for free than ever has been paid for. I give people anything for free that they ask for, and I've done it, and I do it, and I always do it. So if anybody pleads poverty to me and says, I have no money, I send it to them for free. I send out the journals for free. Anything they ask for free, I do that. You know. So the point is, just people that are out there that call themselves Catholic, I wasn't even going to talk about this. I didn't plan on it, but I guess God inspired me to do it, and I'm going to do it because I'm going to do it for your own good. If you're part of Catholic Mary's Little Remnant, or a Catholic, even though you're not part of our lay religious order, but you know us, and you've abjured, and we consider you Catholic, and you're not giving donations, woe to you. You are in serious mortal sin on that alone. I will not quote the scripture verses on that. It's in there several times on how you have to tithe. Even when Ananias and Sapphira did not give their possessions to St. Peter, God struck them dead. And I would say to you right then, you better sit back and analyze your priorities. You're a lover of the world and not of God. That's just one of the little signs that proves you're not obeying all of God's commandments. You're not helping to propagate the faith. You're not supporting God's ministers. Now, you can argue all you want about Ibrani. He has no jurisdiction from any ordinary jurisdiction from bishop. That's hogwash. If you're Catholic, and I'm speaking to you now, you abjured already. You know I'm Catholic. You know what I'm teaching is Catholic, or you wouldn't be with us. And if you don't believe what I'm teaching is Catholic, then get lost. You're a heretic. Get out of here. I don't want you. But if you're going to put yourselves in communion with us few Catholics that I know about, your obligation is to support the church. And the only church I know about is here at Mirrors of the Remnant. And I'm not saying this for greed or anything. You don't want to get. I don't need your money if you're going to be like that. I would say then just get away from us. But I am telling you that for your own good. And so I'm telling you for the state of your own soul that this is one of those little things that are big. You can sit back and say, let me look in the past year. Have I given Richard any? I work 40 hours a week. I get a good money. I'm paying $1,000 rent on an apartment. I got a $30,000 car. I got a good. How much money are you giving to the church? How much money are you giving to the church? And if you're not giving anything or not a sufficient amount, depending on what that sufficient amount is, that could be a mortal sin. If you're not giving anything, it's a mortal sin. Right there. I will tell you, look, go into the mirror, look at your face in the mirror and say, Mr. X, I call myself a Catholic. I've worked the whole past year and made X amount of dollars, and I didn't give anything to Mary's Little Remnant. I didn't give anything to the church. Say it to God. We represent God. I did not give anything to support the work of God being done on earth. How can you expect a favorable judgment when you die and go to your judgment? You have to look at yourself and say, what a worthless wretch I am, who spend all my money on worldly things and give nothing to God. Everywhere through the scriptures, God is telling his people to give their first fruits, their first tithes to the priesthood, their best animals, their best flocks, to propagate God's faith. Now, I can see, if you saw me doing something that was very bad and evil, and I was wasting money, and I was living luxuriously, and I wasn't spreading the faith, I would say, fine, you don't have to give me a penny, and you can even invoke the law that Richard's not using the money rightly. That would be fine. But can you do that? All you people that know me, that's been here and seen me and seen the work that's coming out of here. So let's just be the sermon that I've been wanting to say for a long time, but I didn't want it because people are going to say Richard's greedy, he's begging for money. I hate to do that. And you know, listen to all my sermons. This is the first time you ever heard me talk about this. All right? And I will every now and then when I have to, will talk about it, because then it's for your own good. But I'm giving you people an idea out there to understand your obligation to support the Church of God. And I will say this. If you go, who is Ibrani? In the sense that, is he Catholic? Oh, I tell you one thing. Am I Catholic? If you absorb and you're part of us, you have to admit I'm Catholic. If you absorb, you have to admit that I did good work there through God's grace to help you come into the church. And I'm doing all within my power to keep you in that church and put you on the path to heaven. If you don't believe I'm doing that, then get lost. We don't want you here. Go to the other roads that you think will lead you to heaven, but leave us alone. But if you do believe that I am teaching the Catholic faith, because you're at least by your actions, by abjuring, you're saying that. And if you do believe that I'm doing all my power to keep you on the road to salvation and to live the good Catholic life, then what's your problem with giving donations? And I will say, not only is your problem worldliness, because that's part of it, people really are greedy with money. They really don't, they're very stingy on how they give out their money. Look how much money that they're getting and how much they really give to the church. They're stingy. And when you die with all that money in your bank account, where's it going to go if you die tomorrow? Where's all that money in your bank account going to go? And where are you going to go when you go to judgment for being so stingy and giving for the works of God? So I'm telling this people for your own good. I'll say there's another reason why people don't give. It's not just stinginess. Stingy's a big one. There's a lot of stingy people out there. But there's also other people that don't give because they're not quite sure about us. They've abjured. But then they start hearing how we start telling them how they got to be good Catholics, and they get angry on us at one point or more. We start rebuking them about something they're doing in life that is not correct, and they get angry at us. And so they hold back money. That's another reason people hold back money. And that tells me that's the one reason that they're not quite sure. Well, I wonder about that, Ibrani. I'm not so sure. I better not give them money because I might be supporting the devil, or I might be supporting an evil cult. But what they're really doing is because we tell them something in their life that they're doing. A simple thing like we told one woman who didn't want, she was dying her hair. And she didn't need to be dying her hair. She's not in the church. She was a catechumen. She's no longer a catechumen. But she was dying her hair, and we told her that's vanity. That's a venial sin, and it could lead to mortal sins if you don't stop it. You know, dying hair is vanity. She didn't like it. That was the end of her donations, and that was the end of her being a catechumen on that one thing alone. See what I mean? Now, she wants her soul to be saved. And she spoke of all the vain things she did previous in her life, like piercing her flesh and all that, and tattoos and all that. And she admitted that that was all evil. I says, well, now you have to get rid of this last piece of vanity. Because that's how vanity starts. By dying your hair to make yourself look younger. What is that all about? That and the dime will get you a cup of coffee on salvation. It'll even damn you. What is that all about? We try to impress this as a big deal. You don't think it is? It's small things
lead to big things.
And we lost that particular person because of that one thing alone. Tough. Now, I'm just giving you little things. We'll tell a woman to wear a dress, and because that alone, she doesn't want to come into the Catholic Church because she's got to wear a dress. On her judgment day, she's going to burn in hell because she didn't want to be modest and wear a dress and act like a woman. It's not just the dress thing. It's because she doesn't want to act like a woman. God's going to tell her your real sin was you wanted to be a man and you wanted to be immodest. Those two sins is why they don't want to obey you on that decree. But my point is, a lot of times people are not going to give donations because of the things I'm talking to you about here. Basically because they're stingy, which is one reason. And the other reason is because they don't like what you're teaching, got angry at you. And so they back off and start formulating ideas like, Ibrani might be a little too stringent. He might be a little too rough. I don't think he's correct. I think I'm supporting the devil. If I give him money, I'm going to be propagating the devil. And the devil puts those thoughts in their mind, makes them think that. Ibrani's evil. He's too strict. He's this. So I'm just giving you a few things. The main thing, getting back to the fact that if you believe we're Catholic, and at least you profess you believe we're Catholic because you say you're with us, but if you're not giving donations, you've got a big problem. That's all I'm saying. You've got a big problem, not a small one. If you're not giving any donations, you're in mortal sin. If you're giving inadequate donations, you're in venial sins, and they will lead to mortal sins. God will see to it that you'll start falling away slowly but surely because you're not giving a sufficient amount to the church. And I will say this again. I'm not saying, people who know me know I'm not greedy, and you know I don't give one bit about your money. I know that in all these years I've never spoken, but God gives me what I need. And if it's just me, I was alone for many years and sufficed, and I was quite happy. If I got to go back out there and dig ditches and work, I'll do it and be happy. And then support, in the beginning, that's what I was doing. I had a paper route. I was working the paper route with that money. I put it all into God's glory. Whatever basics I need to live with and everything else went into my, everything I needed to get these journals and everything out for God. And that's it. Okay, so I've done this for all the brothers and anybody in the future who's going to come into the Catholic Church and be amongst us who thinks he's not obliged to give donations. Who thinks he can sit down there with his little calculator and find out how much money he's adding up like Scrooge and how much more money he's getting, you know, and all this for what? When you can die tomorrow and you ain't going to take it with you. Or when even your other brothers need help and you don't go over to help them. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't put aside money for yourself. You must do that. You must be prudent. Even a rich man needs to have sufficient money to run his rich, we're not talking about his rich estate, and he can do that. And he has to have enough money to take care of his family when he dies. He has to do that. But I will say one thing to them right now. If you don't put aside a sufficient amount for God, all that is evil and for naught. Because God says if you don't give him any part, he'll maybe even let you get even richer. And fall into those delusions and grow in your riches, and then you're going to be obsessed with calculating more money and bigger things that you don't even really need. And you're going to find out it's going to be a source of your damnation. So the one way that Catholics store up treasure in heaven is by giving donations to the Catholic Church. And I tell anybody out there who's supposed to be amongst us, who claims to be part of us, and says, yes, Richard, we're all Catholic, I abjured, and you're not giving your sufficient amount of donations, you're in trouble. And I just and so okay, these are the two things that the sermon's dealing with: borrowing and lending, and giving money back, and your obligation to give donations. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us